I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Loving God, we cannot imagine how you promise these things, for we're not able. We run from one another. We sometimes forsake. And we judge you by our human standards, but you are our God. Through fiery trials, in the midst of great difficulty, your promise is sure. Do not fear, you will not forsake. Remind us of this great promise, that we might hear your word, knowing that you are ever by our sides. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. A sure foundation. That's what the choir just sang. But in 1989, I really learned the meaning of a sure foundation. You see, I was in Los Angeles and driving around. It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and all of a sudden on my radio, I heard the voice of a San Francisco commentator. Andre and I lived in the Bay Area at that time. We lived in Oakland. And for a few moments, I was lost in wondering why this San Francisco commentator was on my LA radio station. And then I heard her words at 5:04 on October 17th, a 7.1 magnitude quake had hit the San Francisco Bay Area, the Loma Prieta quake down near Santa Cruz, 75 miles from San Francisco, but 7.1, the Nimitz Freeway had pancaked. Giant Stadium had shook during the midst of a World Series game, and the Bay Area was not going to be the same. I was 400 miles south, and I had no idea what had happened, if anything had happened to my beloved. I couldn't reach him. The phone lines into the Bay Area were down. But Andre was wise enough to call his mother and my mother. And when I called my mother, I knew that my beloved was fine. And I knew that our house was fine. It's a really grainy picture, but that's actually our house. We painted it those colors. It is 75 miles from the heart of a 7.1 magnitude quake, and all we lost was a shelf of the champagne glasses that matched this crystal. All we lost, no cracks in our foundation, all we lost were 8 champagne glasses, which we've never replaced because it reminds us of the fragility of life. But just 30 minutes from us, in the Marina District of San Francisco, this is what you saw. Devastation everywhere. 20 miles apart, and our house was not hurt. 20 miles apart, and we knew no damage. But our house was built on rock, and the Marina, multi-million dollar homes built on sand. Beloved, no matter what we're working on, houses or this church or the relationships in our lives, no matter what we're working on, nothing is more important than a sure foundation. And Paul and Jesus are very clear in their words to us this morning. Paul tells us that there's no other foundation that he would build on than Christ. And in Luke 6, Jesus tells us what that foundation is. He tells us that it's his word. And one of the things that I struggle with is that I've listened to so many Christians who've told me they're actually embarrassed about being Christian because of what has happened to Jesus' words. We've put them in the mouths of other people who've interpreted them in hateful ways. And I want to be clear today that the foundation we need, the foundation on which we've built, is one where everybody is included. We hear, come everybody who's weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We hear in his words that everyone is forgiven if you confess your sin. If you confess your sin, he's quick and just to forgive. We hear that everyone is loved. A new commandment I give you, love one another. And we hear those who claim the Christ are given life eternal. In the Son, there is life. And we hear that in Jesus, in the truth of his word, we are set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's the foundation on which we stand. A foundation that calls us to go out in the world and to be sources of hospitality. In Hebrews, we hear it says, you have to be careful. You might serve angels unaware. Serve all with hospitality. In that foundation, we're called to be fearless in the face of power, speaking truth to power, because we have the regard of our Savior and worry less about the regard of men. In that world, we're told to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're told to care for the least and the left out. What you do for the least of these, you've done for me. That foundation on which we stand asks us to study God's word, to take it rigorously, to know it for ourselves. That's our foundation. And that foundation has been given. It's been given in that book we call the Bible. It's been given so that we might study it together here and not let someone else interpret it for us, but that as community we might interpret it. And yes, I know in this grand gathering we won't all agree, but I do know that as we gather to study and hold one another accountable, our foundation gets stronger. A sure foundation. A foundation that calls us to be salt and light in the world, just as Taylor's wonderful parents told us this morning, just as Taylor is being salt and light. I got an email from the oldest Alton daughter about some of the ways she's serving on her college campus. That's the foundation that she stands on, a foundation of God's word. To be the hands and feet, to be the heart, to be the source of love, the place of safety, the house of hospitality. That's our foundation. We, like good builders, have to take it back, have to study it and know it for ourselves. But if the foundation is given, that's still not enough. You see, even if we have a sure foundation that's given in God's word, we still have work to do. We still have to come and build on that foundation. I'm not a builder, but my research says that if you're going to build on a sure foundation, the first thing you have to do is dig down into it. You cannot just set whatever it is you're building on the foundation. You have to dig down into the foundation. You have to go deep. Some of us were raised in churches where we were made to learn Bible verses. I know it's true for Jane because we've talked about it. I know it's true for Stu because we've talked about it. I know it's true for Lillian. I know it's, we had Bible drills where they stood you in front of the church and you had to say as many as you had memorized as quickly as you could. There were also prizes, by the way. And while as a child I didn't understand that, I do as an adult, because my roots were dug down deep. When difficulty comes, they sometimes just pop into my head. Our foundation is in Jesus, but how do we dig down? We do study. We do come together in moments like this. And I'm going to make a promise to this entire congregation between now and the beginning of Advent. Every morning you wake up, unless you tell me you don't want it, and if you tell me you don't want it, you won't hurt my feelings, you're going to have a red letter email It's going to be an email, and I'll print them out for the people who don't have email. There's going to be a red letter email, something out of Jesus' word with a reflection for the day, so we can begin to strengthen that foundation by building in, by digging deeper. That's the first thing. Dig deeper. And the second thing is to, once you got the hole dig, pour in the cement that would make the foundation sure. And the cement we pour in is not rock and stone, but it's the time we spend in God's word, the time we spend together, the time we spend in study. It's the time we spend simply before God. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the many paths to God, the many ways we are in God's presence. And it's not just in worship. It might not even primarily be in worship. It might be in the nature, the world that is the nature around us where we feel God. It might be in service, in acts of service. It might be in silence, in a contemplative manner. It might be in activism, in working for a cause. We heard seven paths this morning. That's the way we pour in that which will strengthen us and that which will sustain us. That's the way we pour in that which will make us strong. This sure foundation we build on, we must build. Because in that pericope, in that scripture from Luke, you heard Jesus say, the storm is going to come. And if we're on a sure foundation, when the storm comes, we'll be able to stand. And storms come in all kinds of forms. Storms come as that diagnosis that Esther has received that she did not want to receive. Storms come in the midst of this, the one in this place that is facing that time with a lawyer, a storm that was not desire. Storms come when relationships break apart. Storms come when we fail ourselves. Storms come throughout our lives and we cannot predict them and we cannot control them. And when our foundation is deep, when we are part of a community that also has that strong foundation, when the storms come, we are able to stand and not be like the Marina District. We build a sure foundation because the storms will come, but we, with our footing and our moorings in God's word, will stand. And we build not just because the storms are going to come. We build because we are building for the future. My house, that house Andre and I used to own when we bought it, was 65 years old. And we bought it in 1988. So it's aged another almost 30 years since then. That house is almost 100 years old. And through all of the earthquakes of the Bay Area, since it was built, it has stood because it's on a strong foundation. This church for 168 years has stood because it's on a strong foundation. And we are building for children yet unborn. We are building for generations who will want the foundation, who will want the understanding of God's word, who want the community that we know. Oh, it may look altogether different, but the foundation remains. We lived in New England as well, and in New England, if you were going to build a new house, your taxes could triple and quadruple unless you built on the same foundation. If you took down the old house and used the old foundation, all of the ordinances said you were building on the same footprint and on the same foundation, and your taxes did not go up. The foundations in New England are ancient and old, but they were built to last, and you can take down the structure and build something new. Who knows what church will look like when our youth are our age? But if the foundation is strong, they can continue to build on it. What will Johanna want when she is 59 years old in a church? What will Philip want when he grows up, the grandchild of the Rices? What will he want in a church? What will Taylor want when, and Jason, when they bring their children to this church? What will Cooper and Tanner want when they start looking for a church? We may not look like this, but if we've given them that foundation that is sure, Gabby might just continue to stay in church because her foundation is sure. And that foundation is God's word, made known to us in Christ. A new commandment to love. Be holy as I am holy. Serve the least of these. Come before me with your heart open to receive. Those are the planks of our foundation, on which we solidly stand.